Let me say a word to those of you that are watching from wherever you may be, that one of the ways that you can feel more a part of what's happening is simply to respond as if you were here. Let me illustrate. I want to ask a question of all of you that are here, but it's a question for you. So be ready with your arm. This is an opportunity for you to raise a hand. How many of you in the last week have been in a mall? Yeah, four, or maybe five, and probably out there, some of you raised your hands. But for me, it's been about, I think, almost a year. It's even before the COVID. I just didn't go a lot, but certainly have not since that time. Debbie and I, when we would travel, we would often find ourselves somewhere where there was a beautiful mall. And we would go into that mall, and we would realize pretty quickly we did not know where we were. We did not know where the different stores were. And so you know what we did, don't you? We looked for that kiosk or that display, and there would be a map on that display. And if you were looking at that display, you would find these words: "You are here." That's right. It's usually in red for people that need to be able to see something quickly. You are here. And then from that point of knowing where you are, you can begin to look at where you want to be. Now, friends, there's a spiritual application here, because I have a question for everyone in the room and everyone outside the room. Simple question. Where are you? Where are you? Today we're going to be looking at a man who is really revered by three of the major world religions. His name is Abraham. But before they called him Abraham, they called him Abram. And I want you to see something of his journey. There is a map that describes something of the journey of Abraham. And Abraham found himself at the beginning over that. You are here. See that? You are here. That's where he was. He was in Ur of the Chaldees, in what would be, I think, part of modern-day Turkey. And so there is Abram, and he is a pagan. He is a moon worshiper. He has no relationship with the true God. And yet God found him where he was. Oh, this is good news, isn't it? God found him where he was, and God called him, and he said, "Abram, I want you to go from where you are to where I want you to be." And where he wants him to be is Canaan. Came to be called the land of promise, didn't it? Or the promised land. He said, "That's where I want you to go." And so we're going to read about what happens. But listen to me. This is not just an ancient story. This is a story for you in your spiritual walk. And can I say this? It's particularly a story for this church. I want to address to the church this question. Where are you, church? Where are you? Are you still where you used to be? Are you still somewhere else? Are you still on your journey? I want us to look at that. And so I'm going to invite you to take your Bible, and I'm going to read from the English Standard Version today. And we go to Genesis. It's the book of the beginnings, as you very well know. We're past the creation narrative. We're past the sin and the fall of Adam and Eve. We're past the flood. We're at a pivotal moment in the history of God's redemption of his people. And he chooses an unlikely person like you, like me, an unlikely person, and he calls him out of where he was in that Persian Gulf region. So we start in chapter 11, and we read a few verses also in chapter 12. But we're going to start in chapter 11, and we're going to start with verse number 31 in your Bible. Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their possessions that they had gathered and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. One of the things that I've already taught here, and I will continue to encourage you, is that every day of your life, every day of your life, you make a commitment to spend time in the presence of God. We sung about it today so beautifully, and what a wonderful worship team you have here. And so every day of your life, linger long, if you can, in the presence of God. Indeed, keep His presence fresh all day. And there's no better way to do that, I don't think, than to have your Bible open on a daily basis, where God can reveal Himself to you through the pages of His Word. Now, what I've taught you and others is this. When you do that, listen slowly. Oh, you miss so much of the marrow of the Word if you're in a hurry. Listen slowly. And if you do that, you may sense at some point, I need to stop and think about this. And you may need to push the pause button. Let me show you where I pushed the pause button. Bible still open, your copy of Scripture. I want you to see it, and I want you to see it in verse number 31. Terah took Abram his son and Lot the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth together from the Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, here it is, church. They settled there. They settled there. I want to give you a sentence right now so you don't miss it. Are you ready? All right, if you're a note taker, write it down. But if you're not, it won't matter because you're going to remember this. Here's what I want to say to you as pointedly as I can today. I want to say to you, wherever you are, spiritually, wherever you are, don't settle there. Wherever you are, don't settle there. You see, here's what happened. They started over here in Ur of the Chaldees, and God said, I'm sending you to where? Canaan. I'm sending you to Canaan. Something happened. Scripture does not tell us what happened, but something happened. And it's something that often happens in our life as well. They made it about halfway. And they found a place. Now, it wasn't, quote, there. No, they weren't there. But they found a place. It was called Haran. And the Bible says that when they got there, they settled. I wonder if this is a picture of your spiritual life. God has called you in your life to be there, wherever He wants you to be. And He has set the standard high, and we sang about it. He wants you to be like His Son, Jesus Christ. And you've been on a journey, some of you like me, for many, many years. I want to ask you a question. Have you come to a place that you've settled there? I will tell you, I don't think it's a question of age. I don't think it's a question of IQ. I think it's a deeply personal and spiritual question. Have you settled there? And I want to say to you, wherever you are, don't settle there. Don't settle there. And then let me just ask Southgate Baptist Church, where are you? This church was born out of some turmoil many years ago. This church has weathered some storms, gone through some changes. And I wonder if there's not a few, and maybe more than a few, that have said it's time to settle down. Well, you see, here's the problem with that. That you're in a process that God has you in, and He's bringing to you a wonderful pastor. And I got to listen to him preach, and I love him, even though I've not met him face to face, and his wife and his daughters. And he's going to come, and I'm going to tell you something, and I want you to hear me, church. He's going to seek to identify where you are. Max Dupree in the business world has a famous quote that says something like this: the first task of a leader is to define reality. By the way, he says the last task is to say thank you. And in between, he is to serve the people. I like that. But the first task, your new pastor is going to come in. He's going to look at you. He's going to look you in the eye. And he's going to survey Southgate Baptist Church. And he's going to try to answer this question: where are they? And then, in prayer before God, and with good and godly people praying also, with the staff and with the deacons and with all of the folks in leadership, somewhere along the way, he's going to see a there. He's going to see a new reality. And so he's going to say, listen, my task is to take you from here to there. And that's going to bother some of us because we like the lazy boy recliner. We really do. Especially if we've got a remote control in our hands. But I want to say to you, when it comes to the Church of Jesus Christ, you do not have the remote control. Jesus Christ is still the head of the church. And I just simply want to say to you that here was Abram, who started in that land of paganism, and he's headed for the land of promise. And somehow, about halfway, they settle there. Some believe that they settle there for some 15 years. In 1979, I assumed the first full-time pastorate of my preaching ministry, Mount Sinai Baptist Church in Boaz. And I'll never forget one of my dear friends in life who's with Jesus now, he said this to me. Remember, it's 1979. He said, the last revival we had in this church was 1963. I'm a math major. I think that's quite a while. That's about how long Abram stayed in Haran. I don't play golf. I used to play at golf, and I've not played for a while. I've got some clubs. But I went out to the golf course, Deer Lake, as I recall, but I went out to the golf course with a friend of mine. We were standing there, and he had been a member of the church at Ridgecrest, where I had been already for some time. I said to him, called him by name, I said to him, tell me how you have grown in the last 3 years. And he was my friend, and he was honest, and he said, I've not grown in the last 3 years. And it broke my heart. I'm his pastor, and I want him to get there. I don't know exactly where he was, but I wanted him to get there. I wanted him to love God more. I wanted him to serve the Lord with gladness of heart. And he said, I have not grown in the last 3 years. Maybe he had found a place, and maybe some of you have found that place, and you said, you know what? This is good enough. I've got my ticket to heaven. I know where I'm going. I'm not a bad person. I don't kick the neighbor's dog, at least when the neighbor's home. I'm a pretty good person. I think I'll just settle down here. And God, I think, brought me here in part so that you would be a people prepared. You say, prepared for what? There. Wherever God has you be, there. I have had the privilege of teaching other pastors at times, and one of the things I used to say, but I don't say it this way any longer. I used to say this. See how you respond to it internally. I used to say, every church is the size it decides to be. And you may say, that's not true. It's probably closer to true than you know. I say it a little differently now because I don't think size is the primary question. So I say it like this. Every church has the impact in its community that it decides to have. But I want to tell you something. The only way to have that is to linger long in the presence of God until you see there and you get up out of the lazy boy recliner. And you move on toward the promise. You move on toward the promise. You have a copy of Scriptures, don't you? Go to Philippians 3. Just see if you can find that with me. Rather than me just reading it, I'd love for you to see it. Galatians, Ephesians, we're in the New Testament, and we're going to Philippians chapter 3. And we're looking into the life of what is one of the greatest giants in the Bible, spiritually speaking. His name is Paul. And he used to be Saul, but God found him and took him from that man to be a new man. And Philippians 3, this giant of the faith, this giant of the faith speaks to my heart. Verse 12, he said, not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I, what church, press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the mark, toward the goal, for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Did you get that? Paul said, I'm not going to be a lazy boy Christian. I'm going to struggle. I'm going to strive. I'm going to strain because I see there and I'm not there yet. Wherever you are, don't stay there. Wherever you are, don't settle there. Oh, that word, settle. How many of our people have settled in and settled down, and now you're sitting and soaking, and some of you are starting to sour a little bit. And if you're not careful, you'll stink up the Church of Jesus Christ with your attitudes. Wherever you are, don't settle there. I want to share with you three very short sentences in answer to this simple question. Why not, preacher? Why not? Why should I not settle where I am? Answer number one. You are not quote, there, end quote, yet. You are not there yet. You understand that there is being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. You're not there yet. And if you're married, just ask your spouse. They're going to say, I love you, but you're not there yet. And then you can say, same for you, baby. You know, I mean, that's just the way it is. We're not unkind. But I know this about me better than you know it. I'm not there yet. And I'm going to keep on pressing on. I'm going to keep on striving for the goal because I'm not there yet. I know where I was. I know where I'm going to be. And I know that right now I'm in between. I'm in that land in between. And I am not there yet. So wherever I am, I'm not going to settle there. Now let me bring this home. I believe, in my humble opinion, that many of us have stopped short of God's best and settled there. Not every individual, not every leader in every church, not every church, but enough of us have settled down to bring us to the place where it could be said of us, they settled there. And in a sense, that's not surprising. God's people have always had a tendency towards settling there. Adam and Eve, he said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. But it's just a few chapters beyond where in chapter 11, it says they found a plain in the land of Shinar. Guess what? They settled there and they built that tower. That was to reach to heaven. Not so they could get to God, but so that God, as they understood Him, could come down to them. They were building a tower for God. And people couldn't even go up that tower. They had steps, but nobody went up it. It was only there for God to come down. And they settled there. When you get to the story of Cain and Lot and Jonah, how about old Jonah? They settled there. And how about the New Testament church? Jesus gave them a command, said, you are to be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And they settled in Jerusalem until persecution drove them out, and then they were obedient after that. Don't settle there. You are not there yet. And I would tell you that it may be your story that you have decided this is a good place to settle. It may be that you've become me-centered and not mission-centered. You need to evaluate your effort on the basis, not of your personal tastes, but on the basis of what it will take to bridge the gospel to our culture. And I want you to know, in 5 years or 10 years or 25, don't let anyone write about Southgate Baptist Church. They settled there. And don't let that be true in your own life. Wherever you are, don't settle there. Why? Because you are not there yet. Number two. Now be very attentive. Here it is. Settling short of there. I'm talking about where God is taking you. Settling short of there is sin. Can we still name sin for what it is? See, sin is doing what? It's missing the mark. Let me say it another way. Sin is falling short. And I will tell you that if I decide that I can come to this point in life, if I make it to November the 2nd, I'll be 72. I've got my 3 score and 10 and a couple more. So if I say, you know what? I think it's time to settle down here. Get comfortable. Kick back in the recliner. Let the young folks do whatever needs to be done. You know what I have done then? I've sinned against the God who called me there. I've sinned against God who said, I don't want you in the lazy boy recliner. I want you serving me, and I want you striving for the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Settling short of there is sin. I wrote these words. Even a good place can become a cemetery if you linger there too long. Did you hear me? You may say, I'm in a good place, preacher. But even a good place can be a cemetery if you linger there too long. Wherever you are, don't settle there. You are not, quote, there yet. And settling short of there is sin. Now that's two things. Two answers to my question is, why not? Why not settle where I am? First, because you're not there yet. And secondly, because if you settle short of there, then you sin. And then I have a third. Before I give it to you, let me do a quick trivia thing with you. Here we go. You ready? When you know the name of a show, you raise your hand. I'll see you raise your hand. Let me start giving you some clues. A series began on radio in 1949 and then aired as a television show for 6 seasons with a total of 203 episodes. All right? The series followed the lives of a middle-class family living in the Midwestern town of Springfield. It starred Robert Young. Anybody got it yet? Yeah, there you go. I see that hand. It starred Robert Young and Jane Wyatt as Jim and Margaret Anderson. The name of the show? Father Knows. Tell me. Best. Now, I want to tell you something. I told you that for simply one reason. When it comes to your life, Father knows best. So let me give you that third answer to my question. The first answer is you're not there yet. The second one is settling short of there is sin. But here's one, and I love it. Getting there is worth the struggle. Oh, it is a struggle, but it is worth the struggle. It is a battle, but victory is ahead. And getting there where God wants you to be and where God wants me to be is worth the struggle. Won't it be worth it, my child? Won't it be worth it, my child? With Jesus to feed us, the angels to lead us, won't it be worth it, my child? Won't it be worth it, my child? Southgate, after today, I've got 2 more Sundays with you. I love you. I thank God for you. And I think you are in a good place. In fact, I think God must be doing something. Last Sunday, you called a pastor with 97% of the vote. I always thought at Ridgecrest when I was there for 30 years, I couldn't have got 97%. I'm telling you, at the end of it, I was hanging on, you know, maybe. But anyway, but over at Calvary Baptist in Republic, you know this story? Last Sunday, Pastor John 3:16 Marshall is the interim pastor there. And last Sunday, they did something for the first time in their history. They called a new pastor with 100% vote. I think there may be a revival coming in the Southern Baptist churches when you can get 97 or 100% vote on anything. On anything. But I've just got a couple more Sundays and I've enjoyed the time. But it's not about enjoying it. It's about helping you be a people prepared for the Lord. And a people prepared when Jason steps here and begins to take you from here to there. And you can't even see there yet, neither can I. But it'll be a little uncomfortable. It may be a lot uncomfortable for some. But you see, the task of a leader is to define reality and to take you from here to there. Let me pray with you. Father, in the sweet name of Jesus, I pray that it will never be said of this church, they settled there. I pray that it will never be said of one person in this church, they settled there. And Father, I pray that it will never be said of me that I settled there. We're going to need some help, Lord, but we have it on the authority of your word that you are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.